the spitting image of his father. You know, my kids, some of them look like their mom, some of them look like me, and then some of them, well, some sort of weird mix. You ever look at a kid and say, man, I can tell who your parents are? It happens a lot. We're going to talk about that whole idea of kind of passing on the traits and kids that look like their parents. Let's talk about it on the Corner of Truth and Life. Hello and welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall, and at Bean's Corner, we have had a lot of babies born the last few years, and it's exciting. It's having the new life in the church, having, you know, new kids. It's exciting, and there's just it's life. And I so enjoy watching the next generation coming along, and having been part of Bean's Corner now for a long time, it's great because you see these kids grow up and you see them, you know, becoming adults and getting more involved. And I see that in my own children. And the really cool thing, the fascinating thing about kids, of course, is seeing them just as they come out as new people. And what do they look like in my own kids? You know, we look at family pictures and we see the kids. Now, one interesting thing with my kids is my daughter, when she was a baby and very little, she was the spitting image of both her mom, my wife, and her grandma, my mother-in-law. And we saw so much resemblance. It was scary how clear the resemblance was. Now, my now youngest child, my fourth child, my son, he's been coming along as a young kid, has looked a lot like his older sister. And if he looks like his older sister, who looked a lot like my wife and my mother-in-law, well, then obviously he must look like my wife and my mother-in-law. But as we were cleaning out pictures, because my dad had passed away, and as we're cleaning out pictures and looking at old photographs of my childhood, lo and behold, as I'm looking at pictures of my sister when she was little, and I'm looking at pictures of my son, and I'm like, oh my goodness, my son looks just like my sister at that age. Whoa! Here I thought that he looked just like my wife, and really, he looks like my sister. And genetics is a crazy thing. But this gets me thinking about the idea of image. So, when you look in the mirror, we say that other thing is an image. It's a reflection. And these are all the words that we use when it comes to the concept of image. A reflection, a picture of. In other words, the one thing really represents something else. And you know, this isn't rocket science. We understand this. It's just the basic way we use language. You know, you want a mirror that gives you a good image. You want a camera that captures the good image. Something that is a faithful representation of the original. That's what we're looking for here. And so then when we say that a child is in the image of their parent, we are saying that they are a reasonably faithful representation. If we say they're a spitting image, well, they're a very faithful representation of the original. Not that they aren't the original, but they're a faithful representation. As I've gotten older, my dad has passed away, has been gone coming up on 8 years now, so he's been gone a while. But even over the last 8 years, I have gotten to know him better, because as his son, I am in many ways in his image. And the more I get to know me, And then I think back over my childhood, and I see myself reacting to certain things and handling things a certain way, and I look back at my dad and going, oh, that's what he was doing. Because suddenly I realize that without in any way consciously intending to, I'm recreating him in many ways. And that's because my makeup, my emotional being, my thought processes are so much like him that I kind of am recreating him in many ways. Now, I'm still my own man, and it's not a one-for-one recreation, but I discover in myself a lot of what must have been going on in Dad. And I feel like I know him better. And the same as a camp director, the director I worked under for a number of years, and he has passed away now, and now I am a camp director who's getting older and have younger men working for me the same way he had young me working for him. And I find that I know him better because as I get more experience, which is what he had, and as I know the camp well like he did, and then young people come in with their new ideas and their new ways, and they think I know nothing, which is kind of what I did, I find myself replaying, or I find ourselves recreating the relationship that I had with him, only now I'm playing his part, and suddenly I understand him more, because I'm now kind of in his image, because I worked with him for years, and he shaped me, and that shaping went far deeper than I realized, so even though he's been gone a long time, I'm still getting to know him better. Well, so none of this is really, you know, radical stuff. I think all of us can relate to this at least on some level and in some way. But that leads us to the discussion of image that we find in the Bible. And oftentimes this has been downplayed or perhaps maybe misunderstood or under-understood, if we can say that, of what does it mean when in the very first book of the Bible, in the very first lines of the Bible, in the first couple chapters, where God said, let us make man in our image. And it repeatedly says that man was made in the image of God. Now, there are those who say, well, man created God in the image of himself, and there are definitely times when people have created gods in their own image. You look at the Greeks and the Romans that created gods that basically were just pictures of really, you know, selfish people. But the Bible says that man was created in God's image. And now what does that mean? Well, God doesn't have a body. He's not a physical being. He's a spiritual being. So it's not that God created us to look like him in the sense of, you know, the size of our nose and our ears and things like that. It's that we resemble him, we reflect him, we are a representation of him. And that's what the verse, what the word in the Bible means, a representation. In fact, it's the exact same word that later, when God would command his people in the Ten Commandments, the second commandment, do not create any images. He told them, don't make new images of me. Don't make new images of the things in heaven. Well, why would he say that? Well, because he already done that in creating mankind. And it's the exact same word when he says, do not make a graven image, or sometimes we translate it an idol, is the exact same word that in Genesis he had said, let us make man in our image. So we are a reflection of God. We are an image of him. We're a picture of him. Well, you think about that, and there isn't a lot to decode there. This isn't actually some sort of deep mystical thing, even though some people like to say, oh, well, we represent him. Well, the Bible says that God wants justice and fairness. Well, yeah, that's us. I mean, you see it right in a kid. You don't have to program a kid. I mean, my children, I teach him to share, but they have an overriding sense of justice. That's not fair. He got 4 M&Ms and I only got 3. That's not fair. Well, where did they get that from? Well, God created that in them. We have a sense of what is right, and that much of what we experience isn't that. And C.S. Lewis talked about this a lot in the book Mere Christianity, where he said, as we get to know ourselves and see what matters to us, we begin to discover what God is like. Because he created us like him. We are an image of him. Now, it's not perfect. And the image, of course, has gotten pretty messed up at times. Because we live in a world that isn't going in the right direction at all. But yet, we are his image. And the Bible says that one of the implications of that, and this is where we really got to pay attention, is one of the implications of that is that this is part of the reason, or one of the big reasons, or maybe even the core reason of why God so loves the world. Just like I love my kids, and when I see myself in them, it does something for me, you know? I like, oh man, that's me. And it creates a connection. And he created us in his image, and it's part of our relationship with him. And it's part of why he loves us. He created us lovingly as reflections of himself. And that makes us all the more valuable. You know, we're going through pictures now, sorting through my folks' stuff. My mom has been sorting through pictures. And she has a bunch of pictures that from way back in her early life of people that she doesn't even know who they are anymore. They're not family. They're maybe people she knew briefly for a time at some point, but she doesn't remember who they are. They weren't, you know, dear friends. I don't know who they are. No, in fact, none of us know who they are. Or maybe they're even pictures that were saved from my grandparents who were their friends, who everybody's gone now. We don't know who they are. And so those pictures are not valuable to us anymore because we don't know the people. But then when we find a picture of my great-grandfather, my grandfather, my parents, my relatives, those pictures are more valuable to us because we know who they are, because they're our family. And so we understand this, that makes it more valuable. Now, there isn't a person on this planet that isn't valuable to God. There isn't a person who's ever lived does not have value to God, because every single person is made in God's image. And then the Bible says that we are supposed to respect that and find that same value in one another that God finds in us. And that's why he said, here are the two biggest commandments. He says, you want to boil everything down, the whole Old Testament, you want to boil it down. It boils down to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then Jesus said, and the second commandment is just like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments rests everything in the Old Testament. Love God and love others. Why others? Why is loving others part of loving God? Because they are the reflection of him. They are made in his image. And that just doesn't mean the people we like, or the people we know. That's everyone. And of course, we live in a world today where we are trying to dehumanize whole categories of people. And we need to not, because they are made in the image of God. And it doesn't mean that they're right. It doesn't mean that there's not justice. But they have value because they are made in his image. And we should be careful of dehumanizing and devaluing those whom God loves. Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North Jay. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.